Hey, this is Dr. Vincent Pedre, and today we'll be mapping endotoxemia on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-minute matrix, I'll be talking with Dr. Vincent Pedre. Dr. Pedre is the medical director of Pedre Integrative Health and the founder of Dr. Pedre Wellness, medical advisor to two health tech startups, Embody 360 and Fullscript, and a functional medicine certified practitioner in private practice in New York City since 2004. He has recently joined international faculty for the Institute for Functional Medicine, teaching the first ever introductory functional medicine course to practitioners in both Lima, Peru, and Brisbane, Australia. He believes the gut is the gateway to excellent health. As the best-selling author of Happy Gut, the cleansing program to help you lose weight, gain energy, and eliminate pain, he has helped thousands of people resolve their digestive and gut-related health issues. And today's conversation is a super juicy one I know you're going to love. Welcome, Dr. Pedre. I've been eagerly awaiting this time with you, and the topic we'll be discussing is one that I think all practitioners will find fascinating. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
So endotoxemia, we're talking about endotoxins in the blood, right? Can you start us off by talking about what those endotoxins actually are and how they get into the system?
So endotoxin is kind of the more common word for lipopolysaccharides.
Right.
And the lipopolysaccharides are on the outer coating of gram-negative bacteria. Most of these are in the large intestine. And as they die off, they slough off a lot of the endotoxin, the lipopolysaccharide on the outer coat gets released. And if your gut is healthy, so meaning gut permeability is normal, you don't have loosening of the tight junctions because of high zonulin, then the endotoxin is going to stay in the gut. It's not going to come into the body. Now, there is a certain level of endotoxemia that can follow eating. And then depending on the level of dysfunction of the gut lining, so leaky gut, or I like to better say gut hyperpermeability,
right,
endotoxin is going to get through. An endotoxin is a very powerful stimulator of the immune system. But turns out that there are endotoxin receptors throughout the body. So there's the toll-like receptor 4, and that is found in multiple different organs and tissues. So there's toll-like receptor 4 in muscle tissue, in the liver, in fat cells, and in the brain and the hypothalamus. So as the endotoxin gets into the body, then it's going to stimulate this toll-like receptor. Mm. And that's going to release NF-kappa B.
Right.
And we know that NF-kappa B is the pathway to inflammation in the body. It turns on the inflammatory pathways inside the cells. So you get this endotoxemia that is now affecting multiple tissues, organ systems. It's affecting the brain. So it can have multiple repercussions, and it's also activating the immune system. Your immune system is secreting cytokines.
So we're all over the matrix here. We can see this all over the matrix. And essentially in the story, what you're talking about with the zonulin and the gut hyperpermeability is that those are triggering events for the problems that we might see with endotoxemia, and that even eating is a mediator, either positive or negative, depending on the state of the gut and its hyperpermeability?
I would say it depends on the state of the gut and the hyperpermeability. And I know this is controversial. It's just one study, I believe, with guinea pigs. And it did show that, again, I'm just going to say it's one study, so draw whatever conclusions you want, but that coconut oil increased endotoxemia, whereas olive oil, avocado oil, did not.
This was interesting in relation to higher fat diets that I've seen as well in studies, which I was going to ask you to talk about that. And it is controversial these days because there is so much of an impulse to increase our good fats. But
yes,
as we always think through a functional lens, that really depends on the human we're talking about and, of course, the state of their gut. So what have you seen with those high-fat diets?
That's my theory, is that, you know, we have to be really careful about generalizing or creating broad stroke statements about these things, because I think it has to do with the foundation, you know. So if the integrity of the gut is compromised, then that's going to make coconut oil a better carrier of endotoxin into the body. That's what I think. That's how I interpret that study. You know, I don't think we can broad stroke and say, because we also know that there's a lot of studies showing how great coconut oil is for health.
Yeah, I think that it's so important what you're saying, Dr. Pedre, because there's so many hooks we hang on dietary theory without really understanding the impact that it makes on the individual. And this is what you're talking about. How do we really determine whether we're increasing inflammation in the body with a substance or decreasing it? And it depends on the person. So you're talking to us about the gut, the immune and inflammatory balance. You're talking about the hormones and the neurotransmitters and the way this affects brain function. I'd love for you to talk about endotoxemia and the fat cells and metabolism, because I think this is one of those areas that can lead to a lot of confusion. And understanding the lipopolysaccharides sheds a lot of light on metabolic function.
Well, we know that endotoxemia, studies have shown that endotoxemia precedes weight gain, obesity, insulin resistance, and then blood glucose metabolism issues. And that's been shown across several studies. So when you bring in the fat cells, we know that fat cells scramble the insulin signal. They secrete the same cytokines that our immune system secretes. So now we have immune inflammatory imbalance, and we have the fat cells contributing to that. We're getting oxidative stress because of the lipopolysaccharide inside the cells. And you get into a vicious cycle of weight gain. Your body's trying to protect you, so it's going to increase insulin, reduce sensitivity. You're going to pocket more calories as fat. So if you're eating even moderate amount of carbs, more of those are going to be converted into fat. And then we all know that with fats, what else accumulates in fat? Any environmental toxins.
Exactly.
That we're being exposed to. And if you have endotoxemia, you have leaky gut, you know, and if you're eating foods with pesticides, if you're drinking out of plastic water bottles, if you're heating your food in plastic, you're going to be exposed to all sorts of environmental toxins on a daily basis that we are, or you're putting it on your skin through creams, makeup, whatever. So now you're accumulating even more stuff in the fat. So the endotoxin becomes kind of the, you know, you could say it is a mediator, and it is also a triggering event. And the person gets into a vicious cycle of weight gain and they can't lose weight.
Exactly.
And I haven't even mentioned, you know, the other, we could call them environmental triggers, would be medications. So we know that things like ibuprofen, aspirin, that increases intestinal permeability. But we also know that birth control pill, that increases intestinal permeability. And then, of course, the majority of people have been on antibiotics. I'm going to guess that probably 100% of people at some point have been on an antibiotic. And depending on the rounds of antibiotics you've been on, that disrupts the good part of the microbiome, which helps maintain the balance of that mucosal barrier and helps maintain the integrity of the lining. So all of these gut disruptions lead to this increase in permeability that then allows for more of this endotoxin to come through. And I would say a sign that a patient is having endotoxemia after a meal is they feel kind of like they get mentally foggy and sleepy within 30 minutes or an hour of eating. And that's a sign that they have endotoxemia going on. You have to think, well, what were the components of that meal? Why did that meal affect the person this way?
That's a great clinical pearl right there, just in terms of our assessment. You know, we don't necessarily need all the diagnostics. We can be thinking with curiosity. What are your go-to tools for then addressing endotoxemia? You talked about eliminating potentially coconut oil. What are your thoughts on intermittent fasting and when? Are there any other things you're doing as a baseline?
We know that the one way to reduce inflammation in the gut or inflammation that's coming through postprandial endotoxemia is to not eat.
Yeah.
I think we don't emphasize this enough in gut healing protocols about taking L-glutamine and what are the best superfoods to eat for your gut. But the other side of it is not eating, actually resting the gut is very healing for the gut. Combine that with the right eating plan on the other side when you're eating, and you can do, you know, you could do a 12-hour eating window. You could do an 8-hour eating window with an overnight fast, anywhere between 12 and 16 hours. And that rest that you give the gut is very important for reducing endotoxemia. You know, if there's any condition that is tightly connected to endotoxemia would be metabolic syndrome and diabetes.
Right.
And we know that those conditions respond really well to intermittent fasting and even to like a 20-hour fast, which is hard to do. You know, most people are not going to be able to do something like that. That's one powerful intervention that we don't think about enough because patients want to know, well, what should I eat and what supplements should I take? But we need to also be thinking, how much time are we going to give your gut rest?
Yeah, I love that, Dr. Pedre. Any other things that you think about in the toolbox? Are all the ways that we might address endotoxemia about addressing gut hyperpermeability, or are there any more direct interventions that you're thinking about with endotoxemia?
Well, we want to work on the microbiome. And obviously, we're starting with diet and lifestyle and reducing stress, because we know that if your catecholamines are on supercharge all the time, that that's going to affect gut permeability as well. It's going to increase gut permeability. All these pillars like sleep, rest, exercise, movement, because that's a way to relieve stress, but also getting patients to meditate. It's funny to think like we're talking about your gut health and I'm telling you, you need to meditate.
Right.
But you do, because we've got to rebalance your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system.
Absolutely.
Your gut cannot heal if you are on sympathetic overdrive. So in a gut healing plan, and if you're healing endotoxemia, you have to think about all these things. You probably put a patient on a probiotic.
Yes.
You might use a spore-based probiotic. There's some evidence, even though still those studies are coming out, that the spore-based probiotic can help with improving gut permeability. But I'm also a big believer in using prebiotics, although you have to be careful. You know, because a lot of times a patient, and I know you've had other guests talking about SIBO, but you may have a patient that has endotoxemia that also has SIBO. So it starts getting really complicated, and they might have yeast overgrowth.
Yep.
So it's like, how many problems can you stack up on top of each other? And you have to take all of this into consideration when you're adding probiotics. You have to be very careful. I actually have found that the spore-based probiotics do really well for people with SIBO. And I don't bring other types of probiotics like the bifido strains until I know that they're achieving a level of healing from the SIBO.
Yeah, I think that when we approach the microbial terrain and even back it up further, like you said, to the prebiotics, to the short chain fatty acids, we do have podcasts on both of those topics as well as SIBO, that we start to do that underlying, back it up, upstream healing that you're talking about, and then in turn affect the endotoxemia. Any final thoughts, Dr. Pedre, on what you're seeing in your your clinic when you're addressing endotoxemia in patients?
Well, several things, but I will mention this because I really do think that this is an underappreciated nutrient in healing the gut, aside from the prebiotics, but quercetin.
Nice.
Quercetin is really interesting as a bioflavonoid, but I have found a study that also showed that it is a prebiotic.
Yes.
Helps promote the growth of Acromantia mucinophilia. And Acromantia is incredibly important for maintaining the health of the gut lining. And it lives off of the mucin that is secreted by the lining. But what we do know is that when Acromantia levels drop, we see an increase in insulin resistance, glucose metabolism issues, weight gain. You know, and not that you want to think that there's ever a magic bullet for things, but I think we need to be paying attention to these things. And I think in terms of gut healing supplements, everybody thinks probiotics, prebiotics, L-glutamine, maybe NAC, glutathione, but not too many people think about quercetin as part of the gut healing protocol.
Brilliant. I love it. So many clinical pearls. So great to spend this time with you, Dr. Pedre. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, and Carla Schaefer on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode ready and waiting for you, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. That way we can drop into your inbox with a super short reminder that the episode is ready. You have an open invitation as well to email us. Please, please do email us. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can email us at ask@15minutematrix.com.